You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price. The Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can see, we've got four out of the five with us today, brother man. And we've got a couple of very special guests for you. It's going to be an action-packed show, to say the least. So without any further ado, we'll get to our social medias in a minute. And since we're at, you know, in a time crunch, I'm going to get our sponsor out of the way right off the rip. If you guys are looking to buy a house, make sure you check out our sponsor at Stransky & Company. They're the top-selling real estate company. You can, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, Matt Stransky and Stransky & Company are your guys. Keller Williams Realty, you can find them at Stransky & Company on all their social media. All their links to their website are on our website at kl3cpod.com. And you can get to them directly at admin@stranskyandcompany.com. Devin, you're on the line with us, and you ready to go too?
Yes, sir.
So, without any further ado, on the line with us, we've got a guy who, if you guys pay attention to Ring of Honor at all, leading into WrestleMania weekend, you might have an idea who we're talking about. We've got recording artist Mega Ram with us. How you doing, brother man?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
No problem. Thanks for your time, man. Let everybody know where they can find you on all your social medias, all that good stuff.
Well, I hang out at Megaran.com. I do my merch at MegaranMerch.com. And music and all the good stuff at MegaranMusic.com. And then I hang out on Twitter at Megaran. It looks like Meg Ryan if you look at it real fast. It's Mega Ran. Mega Ran, yeah. On there in the paper.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump right into it, man. So I was first introduced to you with the lead up to G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden. You know, you did your song Go Into the Garden, and you had a little bit of a run-in with one Bully Ray. So first of all, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah.
How the hell did that happen, and what was that like for you being such a lifelong fan?
Oh, man, it was insane. I don't know if you want me to keep it all the way kayfabe or, you know.
You say whatever the fuck you want, dog.
We had a fun time, man. It was an honor to be a part of that, man. No pun intended. I got an email from ROH, and I'm from Philly, and ROH has a lot of their roots in Philadelphia as well. And I've been a fan for a long time, and they asked me if I'd be interested in writing a song for them, and I said, absolutely. And so they said, our anniversary show is in Vegas, and I live in Phoenix. So they're like, you want to come up and play the song live? And I'm like, sure. I get there, and then they're like, all right, now you sit down with some creative, and we're going to talk about some creative stuff. And I was like, what? Creative stuff? Okay. And so they're like, hey, we're thinking you go out to do the song, and then you get interrupted, you know? And I'm like, interrupted by who? And so they tell me it's going to be Bully Ray, and he comes in the room just as intimidating as you would imagine he is, but just turned out to be a real good dude, man, and he agreed to do a little business with me, and that was awesome just to be able to be in the ring with him, get pushed around a little bit, get bullied, and so after that, they were like, well, let's do it again. I mean, it's all called Going to the Garden. You should play it at the Garden. And I'm like, well, technically, I'm already at the Garden, but okay. So that meant I get to go to Madison Square Garden. I get to perform. Like, this is dream come true stuff. So it was to the point where I wanted this so bad that I rearranged my entire tour schedule. I was in the UK up until 2 days before Mania weekend. And so I flew in from Glasgow to finish the rest of the tour, then flew back afterwards, and I still had a few more dates in London and other places. So it was insane what I did to get it done, but I had to. You know, this is like a once in a lifetime thing anybody would have done who's a wrestling fan. So so I get there and they're like, all right, you're gonna come out and do the song, you're gonna get interrupted again. And I'm like, well, we already did that, so this time do I get to, like, I don't know, give him a low blow or something cool? And the bully was like, no, they're going to want me to kill you. Like, this is just what fans are going to want. Like, if you go out right now, like, they're going to want me to hurt you. Like, it's just what happens. He put a musical guest on in a ring. They're going to want them to get hurt. And I'm like, all right, that's fair. So I'm like, well, can I flip it and kind of turn heel? Can I, like, you know? And bully's like, a little bit rigid on what I could and couldn't do. He's like, I can't put you through a table. We didn't sign a waiver. And I was like, man, I wanted to go through a table, but I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, put me through a table, man. Like, that's my dream. But he's like, I don't want to kill you, kid. You know? And I'm like, all right, no problem. So yeah, man, I go out and do the song. I get interrupted. It turns into a big brouhaha. But before that, though, just hearing that entire crowd making noise, whether it's cheering or booing, like, just hearing noise from at that level was something I had never experienced before in my life, man. That gave me a whole new respect for what those guys do in the ring, because, like, there's just so many people making noise and moving, and any little movement can throw you off your game, man. So it's like, really, and I'm used to maybe trying to create a more intimate vibe with my music. Like, you know, you lock in on a person or two and make them feel like it's just you and them. But in a giant building, you know, you're supposed to play to the smallest corner of the stadium, you know. So it was awesome. Like, it was an unbelievable moment to be able to be backstage. Like, everyone back there was super friendly and nice. It didn't quite go for me like I wanted it. You know, I wanted a little bit of a comeuppance, but I didn't quite get that. I wound up getting booed out the building. So, but that was fun, man. I had a blast, dude. And I would do that again 25 times out of 25.
Devin?
Well, actually, you kind of touched on something that I wanted to ask. Whenever you have musical guests on any wrestling show, whether it's a WrestleMania, Ring of Honor, musical acts tend to get booed out of the building, man. So was there any, like, hesitancy to do it, or did you just embrace it for what it was?
I did not want to perform. I knew that was going to happen. And I thought that I would be, you know, I was like, oh, let me keep my baby face-ness, you know, by not doing that. You know, I'm like, I know wrestling. I've been watching it my whole life. I know the psychology. Like, so running that back and comparing it, I had the opportunity to be in the ring for WWE a few years prior for their SmackDown rap battle with the New Day and the Usos. Now, being a part of that, Wale was the host. He was a great artist. And I remember during the preparation period for that, they originally wanted Wale to go in the ring and rap. And I think it was Big E who was like, no, that's not a good idea. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you love Wale. Like, and they didn't understand. It's like, don't you watch wrestling? Like, when a musician is in the ring, they want them to get beat up. Like, they're going to get booed. So it's not a good look to have them get booed. And so they talked them out of it. And I feel like there wasn't really someone at the ROH show to kind of talk them out of that. But, you know, it is what it is. So I maybe didn't do a good enough job of convincing them of that. But yeah, I knew what was going to go down. I knew. But still, like, getting a reaction from the crowd was still dope to me. Like, so I didn't mind.
So leading into the show, you know, I was doing my research, doing my thing as a journalist, all that kind of good stuff. I was listening to some of your music leading into it. And like we talked about before we went on the air tonight, you know, I notice a lot of your songs have a lot of wrestling connotation to them. Like, you've got a song called One Winged Angel, obviously Kenny Omega's finisher. You've done, you know, there's a few of your songs that all have wrestling connotation. And then you also just redid the song called Ready Teddy or Teddy Player One for TJ Perkins. So tell me a little bit about what got you into wrestling, and like, were you already putting like wrestling names to your songs before, you know, you did the Ring of Honor and WWE stuff, or is that something that kind of happened afterward?
Yeah, well, let me first correct you. All of Kenny Omega's moves are named after video games.
I know.
So that's
one
thing that him and I have in common. So One Winged Angel is the name of a character from Final Fantasy VII, the name of one of the biggest like theme songs of that game, which came out in like 97. So a while back, maybe 2011, before I had heard of a Kenny Omega, I made an album about Final Fantasy VII, and like the standout track was the One Winged Angel song. So I did do a song about Kenny Omega later, but it wasn't called One Winged Angel, though. We just did a song called The Cleaner.
Gotcha.
So I think what Kenny and I have in common is that we're both huge video game fans. Like, I had a chance to meet him. I ran into him in Japan and then in the States a few times. And we've become, like, kind of friends just based on video games. Like, we just talk about, oh, what game are you playing now? Did you beat this? Did you beat that? You know, so, yeah, we both have that in common. So whereas his moves are named after video games, a lot of my songs are named after video games or wrestling moves because I'm a fan of it. So, yeah, I was doing it beforehand. I made an album called Matt Mania, which was to show my love for games and wrestling, because there was an old video game called Matt Mania. And so I took a lot of my favorite themes. Like, we did the New Day's theme, we did like Goldberg's theme, Macho Man Randy Savage, and then added like raps to them. And we were debuting them weekly on What Culture. We were doing this Monday night thing called Monday Night Ran.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we were just putting out a new song every week. And that was really fun. And so that was where I really started to just, it just took a little bit of courage, like being like, yo, you like wrestling, you do hip hop, why not put them together? You know? So it took a few years of me making music to really get the guts to try that. And I was like, but it can't be corny though. You know what I mean? That's like my main thing. I'm like, I can do the thing that I love and talk about the stuff I love, but I just didn't want it to be corny. So once I finally figured out a way, so I made a song called New Day Raps, and it was just me talking about the New Day. And then the New Day heard it and loved it, you know, and then we made a song for Kenny and Kenny loved it, you know. So it was just a matter of trying to find that balance of embracing the thing that you love, but also making some good art that, you know, can stand the test of time and not be like called a gimmick or, you know, something that's short-lived, you know.
So what got you actually into wrestling? Like, are you a New Generation guy? Are you an Attitude Era guy? Ruthless Aggression? What would be one of the things that got you interested in wrestling?
Good question. Man, I am an old school wrestling fan. So when I got into wrestling, it was when Jake the Snake was feuding with Macho Man Randy Savage. And the snake bit Macho Man.
Yeah, traumatized me as a kid.
Yo, this is real. Yo, oh my God. Like, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Recipes
and at the same time, we were watching that on one channel, and a buddy of mine found that if you flip the channels at a certain time, and there was a channel way up in the UHF dial or VHF, whatever it is, and it was NWA, the old National Wrestling Alliance stuff. And so Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Nikita Koloff, Magnum TA, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, like that stuff. So that was like, I guess, late 80s is when
wrestling.
I got into wrestling.
That's wrestling.
That was wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, that was wrestling. Down south wrestling.
So
yeah, I'm an OG wrestling fan. I mean, I've been in and out, you know, like through the Ruthless Aggression era, I tuned out completely. but I've come back in and out. And honestly, what got me back into wrestling was just building relationships with wrestlers, which was kind of odd. But Xavier Woods, like, contacted me, because, again, through video games. He was like, yo, you like Mega Man, and so do I. I'm in FCW, and in FCW, they let us pick our own music. So I want to use one of your songs to come out to. And I was like, oh, absolutely. So he did that a few times. And then FCW turns into NXT, and then they go from there to Raw, to SmackDown, to record breaking title reigns. Like, so it was mainly just following a friend's career that got me right back into it. So now I'm like just as hooked as I ever was, you know.
He's my best friend in my head. Like you have a celebrity best friend, like he's in like top five. Like Xavier Woods' brother, he's a nerd. He's a wrestler, and he has a PhD. Like, dude, I can talk to him about anything.
I've been a fan of that guy since he was Consequences Creed.
Yeah, yeah.
Consequences Creed, yes.
Yes, just to show you how long I've been watching the shit, I've been watching since I was probably like six, so that was about 98.
God, well, since you are young.
I know, yeah. Tell me about it. We've established the fact that I'm the baby of the group.
Oh, my gosh.
You mentioned NWA. I have to ask real quick, have you checked out NWA Power, and what do you think of it?
Power.
Dude, I haven't yet. But
please do yourself
right
a favor.
On the front of my like DVR, I need to watch this. Once I saw the set, I like flipped out. I was like, yo, it's like old school. Like, this is great. So I can't wait to watch it.
It's fucking awesome.
It's like the next thing I'm going to watch when I sit down at home. So I'm just going to have to skip Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, you can do that.
You missed a couple episodes.
You can do that.
So at one point, did you have your own video game? You hear me?
Uh-oh.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, no. I hear you now. What's up?
I said at one point, did you have your own video game?
Well, people asked me that, and I kind of did, but I didn't think anybody played it. So what happened was, like, man, this is like maybe 2014, a developer, this company out of Chicago, I don't want to put them on blast because they eventually kind of left me high and dry. But they we created a game. They liked it. We liked it. They put it online, and it was really fun and dope. And we were like, yo, let's get it on iPhone. Let's get it on Android. And they're like, okay. And the next thing you know, it was just gone. Like, I went to the site and it wasn't there. They stopped answering my emails and it was kind of a wrap. And I'm like, yo, what happened? Like, I really love this game. So I met a developer, a good friend of mine, who said he can find it and try to retrieve it. So hopefully the next few months, I'm going to be working with him on that. He just needs a place to host it and set it up straight. So the Mega Rant game will be coming back.
What's the concept?
Good question. Thank you. That's something I don't get to answer much. So thank you. Yeah, it's like a side scroller, plays like a Super Mario or a Mega Man, but you pick up books to power up because I used to be a teacher.
Read the book.
You get books, and then like, okay, you get the Art of War, and Art of War gives you like a better gun or something. You know,
awesome. So
it's a lot of fun. It's like role playing elements, but it plays a lot like old school Mega Man and other platformers. A lot of challenge to it. So. And the soundtrack is fire.
So technically, it's educational.
Basically, read the rainbow.
That's called reading rainbow on steroids. I mean, shit. Could you imagine old boy running around with an AK like, ah?
Yo, reading rainbow. How about that?
Hey, there you go. See, I knew there was a reason they had you do music.
Y'all heard the trademark got done on this show.
So let's talk about that a little bit, man. Like, obviously, recently, everybody's been seeing, you know, you redid the song for TJP. Tell me a little bit about that and how that came to be. And also, shout out to him, because I know he saw all of our promo leading into it. Just give us a little bit of a background on how that worked. And
shout out, man. Yeah, shout out to TJP. Good friend of mine, since he started off, I've been following him, and I just love this story. Like, he started so young in the game, and then to go from like being a mass wrestler onto like the Cruiserweight Classic and all kinds of cool stuff. So I just started watching his stuff, and then when he debuted on Raw and he had the video game sound and theme music, I just like flipped out. I was like, yo, that sounds like Dr. Wily's theme, which is a Mega Man track.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap. And the night I heard it, I got tagged in it like 100 times. Like, people were like, yo, Mega Man, have you heard this? Oh my God. And so I got tagged in it so much that when they finally put the theme up on YouTube, I was like, oh, I'm going to rap to this. Like, I'm going to just try something. And so I did this freestyle, and then I tagged him in it, and he loved it. And he DM'd me like, dude, like, this is so great. I'm going to try to push to get you on the real version of the song, like, as I come out. Of course, that didn't work out, but
thanks, Vince.
But yeah, man, we just started meeting up. I wish it would have, but through that, I met the CFOs who do the music, and they were like, "Yo, we're big gamers too." And I'm like, "What?" You know, so it just like everyone through the love of video games. Everybody that I'm friends with is usually through hip hop or video games, and now pro wrestling. So So that's pretty dope. Like, all my friends are into what I'm into, you know? So I asked him, I said, dude, like, whenever you need new music, like, you got to let me know. And he's like, all right, so here's what's happening. I need new music. I'm about to do some stuff with New Japan and Impact, and I need you. And I was like, oh, no question. So I got with my guy, G1, and we played this beat that it's sampled in there, part from the beginning. It's this game called Solstice for Nintendo. Not a great game, but had really dope music. So we sampled it, chopped it up, and I played it for him before we put it in the beat. And he's like, oh, this is fire. I can already see where it's going. And I was like, all right, got you. So I sat down, worked on a track. I got my homegirl, Shubzilla, on it because she's Filipino, so is he. I thought that was important for representation. And yeah, man, I think we made a banger. And it's still pretty awesome to see somebody coming out to your music or hear your music in a freaking stadium. Like, that's dope. So I was in Seattle, got a chance to catch him at the Super J Cup. And that was a great show. And like, to hear my music there, like, that was dope. Like, people hate TJP, which is fine, but they can't really like hate on the music, you know? So that's good. And then they told me Sho and Yo of Roppongi 3K were into it. Like, they were really digging the music. And then through that, I met Rocky Romero, who now I'm doing a song with him for his album. So a lot of cool stuff came from just that. And that was really from TJP staying in touch and just like being a good dude. And like, he's a cool cat too, because I could talk games with him, but then we can also talk like sneakers and other cool stuff at the same time. So, yeah, man, he's a good dude. And he gave me a really good look. And luckily, I was able to step up and knock it out for him. So, I hope y'all like the song Teddy Player one.
I mean, first of all, it's dope. But second of all, no shame. And you know this already, since you've been having to go around a similar road like we're trying to do now. TJP, if you're listening, I shot you an email this morning, dog. We'd be more than happy to have you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, fuck it.
No doubt.
Anyway, so let me get to how you and I met and the question that both Devin and I wanted to ask about most. So we're friends with Kel and Andreas, who helped put together the Wrestling with Stereotypes panel. I met you in Chicago when we were at StarCast. Ring the bell. Anyways, I already knew it was coming. Devin, you didn't even have to ask about the bell. I already knew it was coming. I had it ready to go. But yeah, we met.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't have to. I knew you were going to. See, it's funny. You're in Texas and I can still read your mind. But we met out in front of, actually, shout out to her. And if you guys pay attention to our page, we've been helping promote ODB, trying to get her food truck up and running, man. We met while we were eating some ODB's food and shit. Tell us a little bit about Wrestling with Stereotypes, how that came to be, and what your thoughts were on the panel.
It was awesome, man. That's the best panel I've ever been a part of, no question. Like, being able to have some real talk about wrestling and representation and stereotypes and from people who are actually there, like walking the walk and talking the talk, was dope. Shout out to Kel and Andreas for that and for having me be a part of it. I heard the first one went down really well too. I watched it on the video and I was like, oh man, I really wish I could have been a part of that.
Devin was there.
See this one. You there?
Yeah, I was there for the first one, man.
Dope. So like, due to, I don't know if y'all heard, but like, due to, I think, John Moxley not being able to be there, that's what got our panel moved to primetime.
Right.
Which was
right.
Like a super good look, you know? And I remember Conrad messaging me and his other, Dave Hancock also messaged me like, hey, we're moving you guys to the primetime spot and we're giving you 2 hours. Like, is that okay? And we're like, hell yeah, it's okay. Like, first of all, there's like 10 people on this panel and we want to be able to get everybody to talk. And the AEW guys had to leave early to go do like a dress rehearsal. So it was perfect. Nobody had to be rushed. Everybody got time to speak. I think like the formatting was perfect. Like having a couple people come out at once, a couple of women, a couple of men, a couple of, you know, wrestlers, a couple of non-wrestlers, a couple of fans, you know, so it was dope. Like, it was incredibly done. And my new favorite, and that's just always, she's always been my favorite, is Ariel Monroe, aka Big Swole.
Hell yeah, she's the shit.
She's like my favorite person in the world. Like, and I love the fact that she is so real, so honest, and just dope at everything she does, you know. And she's like, I'm not gonna bite my tongue, so I hope y'all don't get mad, but I'm gonna say some things, you know, like we were saying it even beforehand. So it was great, man. The best part of that, though, didn't even happen on the panel. Myself, Private Party, Fred Rosser, and a few others were sitting backstage about to come out. And we just got into this random conversation about best black movies of all time, right? And we're just like, okay, so Juice, okay, Boys in the Hood, Menace, blah, blah, blah.
Black Dynamite.
And Tony Schiavone, of all people, Tony Schiavone jumps in the conversation. He's like, hold on, guys. Nobody mentioned Coming to America. And we're like, yo, Tony. Oh,
all right. Like, come to Cookout.
Everybody gave Tony Schiavone like the biggest daps and hugs. Like, yo, Tony knows what's up. Okay. So like that was the best moment. And that was like right at the moment we had to go. So everybody's like high and laughing about that. So it just made everybody like really, really calm and comfortable. And we just had a great time, man. Shout out to everybody that was a part of that, because I hope we can do it again every year. Another great part of that was Mick Foley was there in the audience.
I saw that, man. He was like five seats over from us, dude.
And he was like there to listen, you know what
for
I mean?
Real.
Like he, first of all, he was there to listen. He took notes. He was like, man, I didn't think about it this way, you know? And when I talked to him later, he was like, I needed that perspective, you know? Cause me as an old white dude with as far as concerning the Hulk Hogan stuff, he was like, I was like, yeah, he said a thing, you know, big deal. But now to see the passion in the eyes of a fan who was affected by that, you know what I mean? A black man, a black woman, to see their like real emotion from that, it gave me a whole new perspective. He's like, and I thank you guys so much for that. And I'm like, man, like for a guy like Mick to be that honest, I thought it was really cool to see. And yeah, it was definitely a hit, man. And everyone I've talked to after was like, please do this again. We need to do it at every StarCast. It needs to be everywhere because there's a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to wrestling. You know, we never talk about it. It's like the unseen thing. It's like, you know, that black wrestlers have to look a certain way and do a certain thing, or Mexican wrestlers have to do a certain thing, you know? And it's just been there. Like we haven't like cracked it. And I think that we're finally in the point where we can be, have some real talk about it. So yeah, that was a dope time.
Yeah. Kofi needs his rematch too.
And the best black movie of all time is Into the Dragon.
Bruh.
Hey, that's a good segue. That's a good segue.
Very good segue.
I'm sorry, The Last Dragon.
Deb, do you got any questions for Mega about the panel before we let him get out of here? Since he's got all his music happenings going on and things.
Yeah, real quick. What's up? No, one thing I had to say is, you had the best moment of the whole panel. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
Boo. Sorry. I just have a habit of doing that as I hear them lyrics.
Bro, the song says it right there. Like, yo, it couldn't be any more real than that. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride.
Hurt my pride.
Gotta be a man. Sorry. I can't let it slide. Like, yo, the lyrics are perfect. Like, dog, I didn't have to change any words to these lyrics. Like, thank you for that, man. That was fun. And that's how I felt, man. I remember when it went down. Like, I put my Hulk Rules shirt in the garbage, and I think I wrote those lyrics as the Instagram caption. And I had a friend who I won't name, a wrestler.
Put him on blast.
DM and be like, yo, that was perfect. Oh my God, you nailed my thoughts exactly. You know what I'm saying? So like, I was, and I'm like, oh, it's in the song. Like, I didn't make that up.
Yeah, fuck Hulk Hogan though.
All right, so before I let you go, you can get in on this too. So we've got a couple segments on the show, one of which is locker room etiquette. The other one is fan etiquette. So for you, is there anything at these shows that some of these fans be doing that crosses a line for you, or anything that's like a pet peeve for you? Or are you just no holds barred? God.
Play that song again.
It's all of it. No, I think fans should not be allowed in buildings anymore. No, no. the what chant is super annoying.
Yeah.
Disrespectful at this point.
It's also disrespectful.
They've stopped it for a while, but the beach balls thing, like I walked out of a building because of that. It was a Raw after SummerSlam.
Man, shout out to
I thought you were going to say Mania ago. Because I was like, I know which one he's talking about.
was it after Mania or after, I don't know, but
I just remember Cesaro jumping in the crowd and ripping somebody's ball in half.
That was at a pay-per-view though.
Yes.
Yeah, that was at the,
he did it at the Raw after Mania too.
Yeah, the Raw too, yeah.
So the next one they had in the ring, you had Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor or something like that, or maybe it was Cesaro. It's like, yo, people you like are in the ring. Like some of the guys you really want to see, and people are cheering because there's a ball bouncing around.
I think it was Seth and Finn versus the Bar.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So you got like all these top caliber guys in the ring, and you're just like, hey, a ball, hey, you know. And that just made me so angry. So that is worse than the what chant for me. Another thing, I'm not into guys who like to yell out people's shoot names because they read the Wikipedia.
That's the first time we've heard that one. That's a good one.
That is a really good
one.
Very
annoying. I had a homie get himself in trouble with one of the Usos. I wish I knew which one. But he saw him at a bar.
Oh.
And he saw him at a bar, shit. And he's like, oh, hey, your name's Jonathan Tatu, right? And he's like, yo.
Way to go, guy.
Hey, did he get super kicked?
And then an Uso at a bar, too. Like, don't piss them off.
He's like, did I go to school with you or something? Like, how do you know your name? Like, what is
why are you pulling out my government, bro?
I go to school with you, Uso? What's up?
How do you know that was that one, though?
Exactly.
Hey, so, are we classmates? Like, what is this? Like, he's like, so are you trying to look cool because you read some Wikipedia or something? Like, what does that do for you? And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm a fan. And he's like, just be a fan then. Like, yo, just enjoy it. Like, don't think you're impressing somebody by using their real name. Like, call me what you know me as.
that's actually a good one.
So those are my pet peeves.
I'm with that because there's been a few times even at local indie shows where I'm like, dude, like, come on, bro. Like, can you not, like, I mean, even people that I am cool with, like, if I'm in front of other people to where it's not like anything like that, to where we ain't just kicking it like that. And even at that, I still catch myself like, bro, you don't have to call me by my
government. Like, right. Like, his last name really is Thunder. All right, damn it. Just
well,
let it go.
No, dude, like, you know, like, I won't name names, but some of the guys that we work with regularly that have been on the show a bunch, they'll be like, bro, you don't have to call me by my, you know, my working name. I was like, but I just feel like that's... Just
keep kayfabe at all times.
Right. I feel like that's just like a respect factor. Yeah. But
Tony Thunder is on his state ID.
Exactly.
Keep kayfabe. Until they tell you not to, you keep kayfabe.
His real name's Anthony Thunder, damn it. That's what his mama called
like,
him. That's
real
what I'm
talk.
Calling.
I guess this was during Mania. We're all hanging out. And like, I'm hanging with Xavier and like, his name's Austin. So I was like, yo, he turned around. And then I asked Big E, hey, have you seen Austin? He's like, who the hell is Austin? And like, he's like, Stone Cold? Like, that's what we call. And I was like, I just felt like an idiot. Like, whoops. He's like, oh, you mean Woods? Like, oh, okay.
Has anybody seen Big?
Hey, let me get one more question here real quick. Meg, are you planning on being at Mania this year?
I want to. That's funny. I was just talking about my tour schedule for next year, and I was telling my guy, like, hey, we got to leave Mania weekend open. Because if it looks lit, I'll be there.
It's Tampa, man.
But it's in Tampa. No disrespect to Tampa. I like Tampa. It's not New York. It's not New Orleans.
It's warm.
It's not even Dallas to me. It's a little bit different. Yeah. So, but, you know, I would like to be there. Honestly, I'm going to say this. If there's some money in it for me, I'm there.
I am at
it. It's like what a lot of my indie wrestler friends say, too. Like, yo, if there's some bread in it for me, I'll probably be there. But otherwise, we'll see.
Kyrie Sane don't come out ship, I'm going
to
kill him.
The reason why I ask is because I feel like you have to be at Wale Mania. You have to be on that stage.
Oh, no question. Like, Wale Mania is a staple for me, even if I don't go to Mania. I've been to the last, like, three Wale Manias, and it's always been a good time. Wale is the homie, so I'll be there in some capacity, no question.
So I'm gonna just put this out there.
You had the last one, right?
Yeah, I was there. I came late, so I didn't get to catch. I know Wrestling Flow performed, and there was a lot of other things going on. Yeah, that was a moment where I was on stage. It was pretty fun. Young Chris was up there rapping, and they did. They helped put Kofi on his shoulders, and it was great. It was great. It was a good time. All
right. I'm just gonna put this out into the air now.
Oh, that.
As it sits, Devin and I are supposed to be in Tampa. So if we're in Tampa, we got to meet up for some beer.
Absolutely. Please let me know the moment you make those plans, because I'm down. I'll be in Tampa a little bit before that. I don't know if any of your listeners are there, but I will be touring. That's the definite thing I wanted to plug.
Go ahead.
I'll be on a tour with my friend Alfred Banks and Mickey Fax. We're coming through most of the East Coast. We're doing Boston, Brooklyn, Philly, Baltimore, Richmond, Chapel Hill, Atlanta, Fort Myers, Orlando, Tampa, Jackson, Miss, and New Orleans.
No Michigan.
No Detroit.
No
what
Michigan.
The fuck, bro?
No Michigan.
Any of y'all cities?
You
I didn't hear Dallas in there anywhere. Can you get Dallas?
What about Detroit?
The real D.
Oh, dude, I'll be in Detroit next week.
For UMACON, I'll be there.
Oh, shit.
Bro, if you're in Detroit, if you're in Detroit and we don't link up, especially because you got my number, man, I'm going to be hurt.
He's going to cry.
I did not realize you were in Detroit. Oh, that's a must. Please come through. You are my guest of honor. So
when's the show?
UMACON the 2nd.
The show is Saturday night, November 2nd?
November 2nd, yeah.
Ooh, well, then, if you're saying we got an open invite, then Knockouts and Three Counts will be there. I will definitely be texting you ahead of time to get that going. Oh, but before we let you get out of here,
I'm looking forward to it.
Us too, man. Hot damn it. Thank you for coming on the show.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate the time, man. If you got anything else you want to plug or get out there, let everybody know your social media again one more time before you get out of here. And like I said, if you're going to be out here next Saturday, or not next, yeah, it would be next Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
Next Saturday, I will text you a few days ahead of time, and we definitely will link up.
Absolutely. Let's hang out. Let's get some conies or something.
Shit. I can show you a couple spots.
Lafayette.
I was about to say Lafayette was where I was going.
Dooley's.
Hey,
what?
Dooley's.
There it is.
It's a close third, but it's Lafayette, then American. Then it's Dooley.
Right.
Close third.
Coney and a beer, and that's all I need.
Grandies.
All right, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys again. Just add me on socials at Mega Rand, not Meg Ryan. And yeah, I'll see you guys anywhere on the road.
Peace.
Well, that was pretty cool, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've also got a guest who happens to be in studio with us.
I'm so excited about this.
If you guys have been paying attention to our social media, and if you've been paying attention in the last couple days, he cut a little bit of a promo to let y'all motherfuckers know he was coming. In studio with us, ahead of BCWA Nightmare on...
Don't you even say his name. Let him say his name.
I have no problem. I was getting it. So, before BCWA Nightmare on 4th Street, before he goes for the BCWA title against Orlando Christopher, we've got...
The Fruken!
Come on, Randy, damn it!
One job, guys.
Fucking
A! One job, man.
Let's try it again.
One job.
We've got...
The Fruken!
That's right.
And Tony Thunder.
Holy shit. Now we've got all five on the fucking phone.
Okay, cool.
Frogun's like, it's a fucking party
the
now,
Lord
man.
And Marrier. Let's do it.
So if you guys listen to our live podcast that we've done from BCWA, you've heard this guy on the show with us a little bit, but in short form. So here we go. We're going to get into it a little bit. We've got the Frogun with us. How you doing, brother, man?
I'm all right, man. I'm feeling good. I had my coffee on my way here, so I'm all jazzed up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all jazzed up.
All right. Who's got the first question? Where are we going? Kyle, since you were excited for this one, I'm gonna let you go first.
Ah, man. It is such a pleasure because...
Well, hey, thanks. I'm glad to be here, you know?
I mean, I don't get to too many wrestling shows, but when I do, there's certain characters that just stick out to me, and you were number one. The second you came out, I'm like, is that a glow around him? And then I was like, oh, it is a glow around him. So I really appreciate you coming. For anybody that does not know where they can find you, where are some of your social medias?
Oh, everybody could check me out on Facebook. You know, the Frogun D-Ray 3000 on Facebook. Or they can go to Instagram at Defunk3000. You know, and Twitter too, the Righteous Maker 1. So everything, anything Frogun related is right there.
Frogun, just so you're aware, obviously I don't think you're looking at the live feed right now, but some of our female listeners are already enamored by the Frogun.
Really?
That's what they all say.
I mean, it's funny you say that because, you know, the way my head be looking when the Frogun is on 100, I wouldn't expect that, but all right.
You know, because I got a question for the Frogun.
Okay. What do you got, Thunder?
Frogun, could you tell the people a little bit about Mr. Primetime Tommy Johnson?
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, Primetime Tommy Johnson, that's my homeboy, man. Tommy helped me out a whole lot, and I mean a whole lot. I owe him a lot to him because I was originally trained by the Canadian Destroyer Doug Chevalier. And he died next day after my first match. And, you know, Tommy took me under his wing because at the time I really didn't know nobody. I only got, you know, one match under my belt. Only know the people that I trained with and everything like that. So, yeah, Tommy's my man. That's my homeboy right there.
Was it long? How long was it after that that you went to Florida to finish training with Sika Noya?
Oh, man. I wrestled around here when I started for about a year. You know, like I said, Tommy helped me out a lot, did a lot of stuff around here. And the reason I ended up in Florida, because he originally trained with Adrian Street down in Gulf Breeze, Florida. And I'm thinking like, well, damn, I'm trying to get somewhere. I want to do something. What's up with Florida? And he was telling me about it and everything, how it was for him. So I just moved down there. I didn't even know who I was going to wrestle for, who was down there. All I knew was that Adrian Street had apartments in front of the school, and it was 10 bucks a night. And that's all I knew. And I'm like, well, you know, hey, I'm going to take that chance. And luckily, end up hooking up with the Samoans, you know, with Sika and everything like that, which is something that, you know, I didn't expect to happen at all. And, you know, he helped me out so much, too, you know.
So my question for you is, like Kyle said, anybody that's ever watched you at a show, yeah. I mean, just when you're in full-on, like, go mode, I mean, it's hard not to be captivated. So please tell me, how the fuck did the Frogun come to be?
Well, you know, all right, I've been wrestling like 19 years now. And I mean, I started out as Don Crisis, then by just, you know, one happy accident, you know, D-Ray 3000 came along through the whole TNA thing. And, you know, then I eventually dropped the hair and started being more serious as the Righteous Maker Rick Baker. But, you know, I was just another guy. I looked just like, you know, I blended into the crowd. Wasn't nothing special about that. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to D-Ray 3000. You know, why not? You know, but, you know, I'm older now too. So the fro ain't what it used to be. So, you know, and I always said, I ain't growing that back. I'd be looking like George Jefferson in there, you know, something like, you know, Hulk Hogan with an afro all the way in the back of the head. So I'm like, damn, okay, I grew this hair back. I, you know, brought back the D-Ray 3000 thing, but just something just, it wasn't clicking like it used to, you know? And I'm just looking in the mirror like, damn, I need to go find me a Wheezy because I ain't looking right, you know? So I'm just in the mirror messing around, you know, and I'm, you know, playing with the hair and whatever, and I, you know, put it like in the top knot hookup, and it just popped to me like, oh, you know, the Shogun of Harlem. I should do a gimmick like that. Hell yeah. So I, you know, started sitting down, drawing stuff, thinking of names and stuff. And like, okay, Shogun, this, that. And I'm like, okay, I'm D-Ray. I got to be something related to D-Ray. So, okay, instead of the Shogun, I'm the Frogun. You know, let me put the picks on the vest and wild out like that. Why not? You know, and the shocking thing that shocked me the most about the whole thing of it is, I'm doing a gimmick of a spoof, you know, spoofing, you know, the Shogun of Harlem from a movie, you know, The Last Dragon that came out in the 80s.
Sure enough.
In the 80s, and nobody has done this ever. Because I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's a great idea. But then I'm like, oh, shit, man, I probably find maybe three or four guys that tried this already or, you know, something similar to it. I ain't find nothing.
That's what I love about it, because it just feels like something I would have seen when I was like three.
Right.
I've never seen. It feels like one of those things, like a Mandela effect. Like, I had to have seen this before. I've never seen this before, and that's what feels so great about it.
Well, I think I done stumbled on the best thing I've ever done in wrestling. I just hope, you know, I get attention by every damn body. If anybody listens, they can give me a contract. The Frogun is ready. You know what I'm saying?
So, I haven't got a chance to get to a BCWA show yet. Yeah. So please tell me you wrestle in Chuck Taylor's. Please.
No, I'm not wrestling no Chuck Taylor's, but I mean, that's a lot of ideas with that you know, I'm working on and thinking about, you know. So
just imagine if you saw Shonuff, but instead of just having the regular robe, you got Afro picks on it, bro. Like, yeah. He comes out, the music, speaking of theme music from our other guests, the theme music, the second I heard it, I'm like, yo, that's kind of dope. And I start bobbing my head, and you came out, and I'm like, oh, I like this dude. Like, the second I saw him, yeah. I'm like, I like it.
Because when I seen your character, I just already thought, like, he going to say, kiss my wrestling boots.
Yeah. I done a little bit of something like that, but more of that's in the works. More of that's in the works.
And let me tell you, dude, like, I told you this when we were talking about you coming on the show. Like, just the promo that you cut to come on the show was getting plenty of looks. Because let me tell you, the motherfuckers I work with, and the people that watch the show regularly, they're like, who the fuck is this guy? Including.
See, that's the reaction I want, right, man.
And including our first guest, Meg Ran. Like, as soon as you sent me that promo video, I said, bro, I said, you got to check this shit out. Yeah. So I sent him the video, and I was like, yo, this is the other guy that's coming on the show when you come on. And he goes, all he replied with was, that's awesome. Cool. That's it. Hell period. Yeah. So let me tell you, the shit you're doing is working.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad it is. You know, finally something. Because one thing I'll say is, I mean, I ain't afraid to think outside the box. I'm not afraid to try different things. I done had gimmicks that ain't work. I mean, I'll tell you about one gimmick that really taught me that a good idea ain't always a good idea. You know? So before I start doing the Righteous Maker gimmick, you know, and I dropped the hair and everything. I'm like, damn, I got what's something else I could do that, you know, could get out there? And I'm starting thinking, like, you know, selling gimmicks and something that the kids would like. And I'm like, you know what? What's something that I really ain't seen nobody do? Like, okay, you done had, like, you know, animals and the tiger this, the this and that. So I'm thinking, hell, I'm going to put on a tail. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call myself Iron Monkey. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, you know?
Sounds like an energy drink.
Yeah, it could be. You know, why not? But, I mean, it. But I didn't wear no mask with it or nothing. So, I mean, maybe that was what kind of, you know, and it was kind of, when I would hit up promoters, it was like just too far left for them, a lot of them. You know, it was only like a few people that got it and, you know, and stuff like that. But I was thinking on more like I could, you know, sell all kinds of stuff to kids, T-shirts, toys, all that, little tails, all that kind of stuff like that.
He was a saying.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, and I cut the tail off. But
right, seen the moon.
Yeah. But that really ain't, you know, worked too well. So, you know, back to the drawing board. But now the fro gun, I'm sticking with that all the way.
I could see the fro gun on NXT or something, or Impact. Man, so.
I want the fro gun on every damn thing. You know what I'm saying? I want to be on the cereal boxes too.
They got a damn shirt of Bailey for hugging. I can see one with the fro gun with the pick on it.
Okay, let's do it.
So we're talking about the things that didn't work. One thing that did work for you, you were in the early days of TNA.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. How the hell did that come to be? And were you was the fro gun in full effect back then?
Well, that was many, many moons ago, man. I started with TNA when they were still in Nashville doing the weekly pay-per-view.
Right.
You know.
That Ron Killings
back in the Asylum?
Yeah, Ron Killings back in the Asylum in Nashville and all of that. Like I said, that was one big, happy accident. All right. At that time, I had maybe 4 years under my belt wrestling, right? And, you know, I ended up moving back here from Pennsylvania, you know, and, excuse me. Dude, like a lot of the people I met, you know, you get contacts here and there. And so, you know, when I moved back here, the only people that I knew were still, running, you know, wrestling promotions and schools and stuff was Scott DeMore in Canada. So I'll go over there and train and stuff because I know the people I knew. And him and Chris Sabin had just got in the door,
you know, with TNA. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna build up enough courage. I'm just gonna just flat out ask him straight up, like, who do I need to, you know, speak to? So I went up there and I asked him, I could talk to him for a quick minute and, you know, put him to the side, and he was cool about it. And I said, you know, hey, Scott, I just would like to know, you know, who would I need to talk to, you know, as far as TNA, as far as getting looked at all, if anything. He just gave me a name, Bill Barron. So I'm like, okay, cool. That's all. He didn't say anything else. He just gave me a name. Already had his contact, you know, through other people I met, you know, Cliff Compton. He was one of the in WWE's Deuce and Domino.
I was going to say, I've heard that name
before. Yeah, he wrestles Cliff Compton. You know, what's up, Cliff, if you listening? Thank you for that, you know. But
I got a quick question right quick.
Yeah.
You know, with Saturday coming up and you going against the BCWA champion, Orlando Christopher, you know, you've been a champion yourself. You know, I just know if there's anything that you've been preparing for against Orlando specifically. And speaking of the titles you've held, you know, how did it feel being the Ethiopian heavyweight champion?
Ha! Boy, that was a short-lived run, wasn't it? Yeah, I got the sense of be back into me after that one. I knew how to speak English again and all of that, you know, and wear clothes. Damn.
What the hell?
Tony's explain that one.
You're talking about left field. Here comes Tony out of left field.
Okay.
Shit.
Explain all that right. one.
What about that one match you had back in 3,000 years ago?
Well, the thing about that one, that took me for a loop. Because I got contacted like the week before by Bill Barons, you know, and Simon Dean, you know, Nova, when he was wrestling for WWE, and they hit me up talking about, hey, you know, we want you to, might have something for you on SmackDown with MVP. I'm like, okay, cool, yeah, hell yeah. And, you know, that's all they told me. So I get to the building, I'm all geeked up, talking to, you know, all my friends and stuff. Hey, what's up? How you been? This, that, the other. I start getting ready. I'm putting on my stuff, you know. And then some dude comes up, D-Ray, we need you to wardrobe. I'm like, wardrobe? I'm like, all right. So yeah, I follow this guy over to this corner where they got, like, you know, cabinets, all kind of stuff. And they had this dude they called him Mr. Magic, you know, that used to work for WWE. They did all their gimmicks and stuff like that. So I walk over there.
Is it Hottie?
Mr. Magic?
Yeah. I thought that was who it was.
Did you say, is he a hottie?
No, I said Mr. Zahadi.
That's what I thought he said, too.
No, Zahadi. I thought that's who it is.
I'm getting thrown for all colors.
No.
That's what I thought.
Ain't none of that shit.
We looked at each other like,
no, I said Zahadi because I heard him before.
Yeah. Cool old dude. So I walk over there, and he's like, yeah, we're going to get you all dirtied up and everything. I'm like, what? Then I look over to my left. And, you know, they got Kane and Boss Mahoney just laughing. They looking at me, and they actually making the little beads and stuff. I didn't know what the hell they was doing, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're going to be the African champion, all this and that, and here's your loincloth and all that. I'm just oh, damn. I didn't expect that at all, but I'm like, all right, you know. And then we get to the curtain, they're like, oh, yeah, here's the spear. Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
I didn't even know I had a name until I seen it like a couple weeks later, because I didn't even bother watching it when it came on TV.
He was like, I don't even want to relive this shit.
Yeah. So I basically seen it. I'm like, wow, I had a name too. I didn't even know that. They didn't even tell me that I had a name or nothing. They say, okay, here you go. Now go out there. You know,
gotta love the ruthless
go out there, take this ass whooping. All right. You know, so that was that. That was the one and only appearance of the Ethiopian champion, Vico Batamango.
You know. So,
Zunite.
Let's bring you back full circle to BCWA. How the hell does the Frogun end up there, and what does Orlando Christopher have in store for us?
Ha! Well, with BCWA, man, you know, when I started doing the Frogun, I started getting hit up by a lot of people that I never, you know, wrestled for before, which was a good thing, you know what I mean? I want that attention. And I've heard of the, you know, BCWA and everything like that, and I know a lot of the guys over there. So I'm like, okay, sure. So I started talking to the promoter, and we worked it out, and I started, you know, wrestling for him and everything. And it just, you know, people was digging it. People was loving the Frogun and everything like that. And next thing you know, now I'm in the title picture. Now I finally get that shot for the BCWA championship with Orlando Christopher. Now I've known Orlando Christopher basically since he started. I've known him for a long, long time. And I've only wrestled him once before, years ago, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this Saturday.
So if you win, I'm going to need that interview.
Okay. You got it, man. You guys, Knockouts and Three Counts, they got it. First interview.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
So, Devin, I know you've got plenty of questions for our guests, so I'll let you go next.
What's up, Deb?
What's happening, man?
Yeah.
Well,
What?
I missed it.
Wait, I didn't know Devin was on the phone. Y'all tripping.
Yeah, I've been here chilling, just waiting my turn, man.
Oh, okay.
But he got a Kango along.
Huh. And Taco Michon.
But,
the hell was that?
I couldn't help it, dog. I knew he was going to go to the taco meet.
Oh, well, my question, you kind of touched on it.
I thought the pizza came to the door. Pizza man is up there. I don't know what that was. What they do when they deliver the food?
You kind of touched on it about the Ethiopian championship gimmick that you did for like one shot. And we were just talking to Mega Ram before about his being on the panel at StarCast about wrestling with stereotypes.
Yeah.
So after you saw what your character was, after you saw the wardrobe they had for you, how did that make you feel, man? It's like knowing that they got you out there holding a spear and basically playing a stereotypical African character.
Well, you know, it all happened so quick, I really had time to react to that because I'm like, oh, damn, okay, you know. 20 minutes later, it's over with, you know? So, I mean, like, okay, what just happened here? But, you know, it's funny you ask that because a lot of guys, you know, that I knew in WWE at the time, they just shaking their head like, damn, I don't even know, man. You ain't even got a deal here. And they already don't like you. Look what they got you doing, you know? But I'm just thinking, like, you know, I'm going to go with the flow and hopefully just turn into something, you know? So I ain't had no complaints on it. I wasn't mad about it. I mean, I understand how TV and stuff like that work. And like I said before, I think outside of the box. I don't mind doing crazy stuff like that. I didn't get offended or nothing by it, you know? I mean, you couldn't see no, you know, little Korean guy running, he couldn't be the Ethiopian champion. That wouldn't have made no sense.
At least that continuity.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right. I mean, I was probably like the most overweight Ethiopian. You know, I don't know, but hey, it wasn't my idea. But I'm like, all right, let's roll with it. So
okay,
Kev.
So. What made you get into wrestling completely?
Right. Oh, man.
Good question.
When I was a kid, you know, my older cousins, you know, they would watch wrestling. They'd be practicing moves on me. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'm thinking they just coming up with this at the top of their head. They put me in a doomsday device. And all this. I'm like, what is? And next thing you know, we watching, you know, WWF, you know, superstars and things like that. And I liked it. It was cool because I wanted to be like my older cousins and stuff like that. I wasn't like a huge fan of it, you know, because it'd be times where I start complaining, like, can we watch cartoons? Can we do something else? You know, but I liked it because they liked it, you know. So I knew what was going on. I would call myself a casual fan at the time. But when I was 9 years old, my stepfather was like, hey, I got tickets to, you know, the WWF, da-da-da, at the Palace. And I'm like, oh, okay, something to do. After that, I was in love, man. After going to Wrestling Live the first time, that's all I thought about. That's when I was there, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Who was it that you saw that did it for you?
Well, you know, I wasn't like a huge fan of just one person. It was guys that I always looked up to. But just the whole, you know, the whole production of it all, the hoopla of it all, you know.
Pyro.
The presentation. They didn't even have no pyro back then. But the whole, you know, the production of everything was what set me off, you know, loud screaming for the whole, you know, presentation. Kind of like when you watch, like, the World Series or, you know, the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl. You know, it's people that watch that aren't, you know, casual fans, but they're going to watch, you know, the championship games because of how big it is. You know, the spectacle of it all. That's what got me.
Has a different feel.
Right, the spectacle of it all. That's what got me hooked, you know. And, I mean, but of course it was guys I looked up to because once I seen all that and just started looking at all these guys, because that was like when the Ultimate Warrior, the Macho King, you know, Sergeant Slaughter, you know, I became like a diehard wrestling fan. That's all I cared about, like, in 91, you know? Mm-hmm. So, But I mean, and I hate it. I despise. I could not stand Macho King when I was a kid. You know, it's
that's
funny.
His all-time favorite.
I mean, I love Macho Man, but the Macho King, I hate it. But it's funny. I despise it. I couldn't stand it, but I loved me some Mr. Perfect. It was weird. It was weird like
that's,
that.
That's my guy.
You know, Mr. Perfect is the shit, man.
Yeah, it was weird like that. But
greatest gimmick ever.
That wasn't a gimmick though.
That's what
I'm saying. I'm just, that right there. That just I can beat you at anything. That there's never been something better than that.
Poor Curtis.
But the that's what got me hooked in the wrestling.
But the thing with Mr. Perfect though is if you've watched anything that's ever been put out about him or anybody ever talked to him, like I never got to meet the guy. Obviously,
yeah, me neither.
But I mean, from everything I've ever seen, it seems like all that shit was like legit. Like Wade Boggs talks about it. Like everybody I've ever heard talk about
the basketball
Perfect.
Shot. They said he did it though. Behind the back basketball shot. They said he did it in one take.
Except my one critique and shout out to Conrad before I see you in Baltimore. I was listening to Arn Anderson's podcast the other day. My only bitch with Mr. Perfect is he should have been a fucking horseman. Just saying.
Everybody has been a horseman.
Crap.
But did him going to NWO do a damn thing for him?
That didn't do shit for nobody.
That's my point. He would. I feel like he would have had way more impact as Mr. Perfect with the Horsemen, especially with the doing the My Spot deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just felt like that was what you should have did. But hey, what the fuck do I know? So since we talked about it with Mega Ran, and it's something that we ask all wrestlers when they come on the show.
Right, right.
So
we need to start writing this shit down.
I mean, it's kind of like a mental note, but you're right. We probably should get this written on like a piece of paper and just continue to add to it. Yeah, we need to like start taking a list of all this shit. We've had everything from like Josh Briggs from Evolve told us, bring your own squirt bottle. Bring your own wrist tape. Uh-huh. Keep your baby mama out the locker room.
Congo
Kong let us know you need to wash your balls. Shake everybody's hand.
Yeah.
Wash your clothes. For you, I mean, whether
not after you wash your balls too, you have to have some in between time for you.
Exactly.
Whoa.
But you know, whether it's a pet peeve to a new guy or something that just annoys the shit out of you, what is what's one of your biggest pet peeves when it comes to the locker room?
Okay.
Can't fucking around showing the memes and shit.
Yeah. No, we got you know, just
got some bull crap on here.
People's fans comments.
Stephanie, that's blasphemy.
Oh hell no! You get banned for that.
That's blasphemy,
like,
damn it! How can you say fuck Mr. Perfect?
When I look at it, I don't know if she wants to or don't like it.
You know, hey, she was saying she wanted some of the fro gun at the beginning when you came on. Well, I'm just saying.
Mr. Perfect. Ah, God.
But what is it? What is it for you? Do you have any pet peeves when it comes to the locker room with people?
A lot of the new guys that come into business, you know, sometimes it's not their fault, but I mean, you should kind of get a feel of the room when you walk in the locker room with a bunch of guys you don't know and stuff like that. But it's a lot of new guys that, you know, they come in this business, and I say it's not their fault because a lot of them are, you know, trained, right, and don't know, you know, locker room etiquette and stuff. So if you tell them, you know, that, you know, that this table is orange, they're going to believe this table is orange. That's the only thing they know, you know. But that's the only, I mean, just the whole thing in general, like you said before, shaking everybody's hand and, you know, not, you know, trying to, you know, think you're prima donna and you need your own locker room and everything like that. I see sometimes a lot of that with the new guys, you know, that they don't do that, you know, so. But it sometimes just come from, you know, not knowing any better, or they just, you know, an asshole. I don't know. But, I mean, in general, everybody, I mean, I wish, you know, even outside of wrestling, just being raised right, you know, you should know to introduce yourself, especially when you come in an environment full of people that you don't know.
They're going to be hitting you.
Right. Because
or people that you're trying to make an impression on.
That
you should probably not be an asshole.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of times where, you know, you don't know these people's a psycho, and a lot of people get offended about that. Next thing you know, you're getting your ass whooped. You know, that happens. It happens, you know.
It's warranted.
Yeah.
So real quick, one of the biggest things going on now is the quote-unquote Wednesday Night Wrestling Wars.
Uh-huh.
What are some of your thoughts on the AEW
promotion? I think all of this is great. I think it is great because wrestling is hotter than it's ever been in pretty much 20 years, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we need this. You know, people, I was going on the internet and you got fans, oh, I'm AEW, I'm WWE. look, that don't matter. Just be happy that you have all these options now. Mm-hmm. You
know? What just popped in
what
my
What a time. What a time to be alive.
Right. Because, I mean, this is something, like a lot of these fans, they weren't around during the Monday Night Wars. Hey, you know, they didn't know
they
nothing.
They were switching channels.
Right, about ECW. Or even beyond that, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, USWA, you know, WCCW. A lot of them, they don't have no clue about none of it. All they know is WWE and whatever the hell is on they
programming
network or streaming gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all they know. So I think it's great, you know, that it's more options, not just for the fans to watch, but it's more opportunity for all these guys out mm-hmm. here busting their ass, you know, every weekend trying to get a job. So I think it's wonderful, and I hope more is to come.
I love it because that's the thing. You got so many, like you said, so many options, but now, like, Impact is going to try to outdo everybody. You got Ring of Honor is going to try mm-hmm. to outdo everybody. You got NWA.
That so makes everybody so want it. That makes everybody better. When you got competition, it want it even more. Mm-hmm. It gets you more excited. Much you want to go out there and do way 10 times better than you did the night before.
And a way, too, you want to get more people looking at your product because you want to have different things so mm-hmm. that you can have characters like the Frogun. Yeah. Can be on any.
Hey, I'm ready. Frogun, I'm ready to hop on. First thing, smoking. Let's go.
If people didn't already know you were a pro, you've totally just segued into the second part of the question I was asking. So we talked about locker room etiquette. Is there anything in all the Frogun's travels that gets on you when it comes to fans and shit?
Oh, man.
We got a fan etiquette one, and let me tell you some of the ones we've already heard. Mm-hmm. The first one, and I threw this one out as soon as we started, and I'm sure you'll agree as soon as I say it. Can you please
take a shower?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Man, that's number one. Yes. Number two, like we said, don't be throwing people's real names out uh-huh. and mind people's personal fucking space.
The Sasha Banks rule.
Right. So what about you? Is there anything in all the Froguns travels that really grinds your fucking gears?
Many, 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 many. I got one that was kind of recent, you know. Like I said, a lot of fans, you know, they don't know how wrestling used to be. And they've got conditioning, you know, to go to wrestling events just like it's going to, you know, to the movies or you know, the circus. Just something they'll goof off and do. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize, you know, some of the fans, they, you know, they get a little rowdy and they want to try to jump in and do something and they don't mm-hmm. realize they will get their ass kicked mm-hmm. with the quickness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, I think about 2 months ago, I was in Indiana wrestling and I'm doing my thing. The Froggun is here, you know, I'm doing my thing. And this kid stands up. So I go over to him. I start jaw jacking with him. He decides to try to take my glasses off my face.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
So I quickly knocked him down. In his chair, you know, don't put your hands on me, you know. So,
and that's part of the fun of it too. That's what you that like.
Yeah,
come on, like there's a limit.
Yeah, so I mean, that some people don't know their boundaries, but any fan that's out there that think that they can just get involved in your time, go online and look at some of these videos of the fans shit. Trying to come over the guardrail mm-hmm. or the side. They want to come, you know, put their hands on a wrestler and mm-hmm. see what the outcome is. Because mm-hmm. if you're thinking of doing that at the next wrestling event you attend.
Hope you have health insurance.
Be ready, you know, to get some lumps upside your head. You know, be ready for all of that. Have your alcohol pads and your Bactine, all that ready for that licking you're going to take. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Buy a ticket, enjoy yourself, and that be that, because anything beyond that will get yourself hurt.
That's right. Buy a ticket and make sure you're at BCWA this Saturday.
Damn right.
So, after you,
October 26th,
right?
Wind up, baby.
Hi, damn it! If you pay attention to our social media, you already know what the deal is. So we know that you're trying to go after the BCWA title.
Mm-hmm.
Is your goal to be taking out the Alliance title and getting all the belts in there, or are
all
you
the goal? My goal is to have the biggest wrestling collection of jewelry around my waist and everything. I want to be stepping out the curtain looking like Mr. T with wrestling belts. You know what I'm saying?
My mother was a great woman.
That's right. That's what the Froggun is trying to do. You know, I want to have so many damn titles. You won't see nothing else but belts and then my head. That's
Peter
all
the
you gonna see.
So you just want to be like, I'm going to get you sucker. Just be draped in gold.
All
just
love
be draped
it.
In
all
gold.
All of it. That's why I'm going to have to be putting belts around my ankles because I ain't going to have room for nowhere else to put them.
Tony, Dev, either of you guys got anything else for our guest?
Are y'all there?
Y'all still in Texas? Y'all all right?
I mean, shit, I guess not.
Randy cut
Randy
them off.
Cut the, Randy hung them on.
They're still there.
Dev, Tony, you there? All right, fuck
yeah,
it.
Dead air.
Yeah. Okay. Well, dead y'all got any questions?
Go ahead, Tony.
All of them.
Oh, shit.
I got a lot of answers.
What happened?
I got a lot of answers.
We're waiting on you, Anthony Thunder.
Oh, shit.
First of all,
Lightning.
if you were watching earlier, we're like,
you should have been paying attention earlier.
No, if you were watching earlier, we're like, no.
That was on the list.
I thought we just mentioned that one, but
it is Anthony, though.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, it's Anthony Thunder. I know
you. You know, I'm just saying, with leading up to the Saturday, man, I know that most people go and study films on their opponents, or they may train a little differently depending on who they're going against. Is there anything special that you have that Orlando Christopher pushed you to do a little differently as preparing for this match? Or is, you know, you just D-Ray, you just go out there and you just show how the Frogun do?
Well, every single match I go into, something is going to be a little bit different and a little bit special. And you're just going to have to come out October 26th in Wyandotte to see how it go down for the BCWA championship. Because I'm telling you, you come out every time, it ain't going to be the same Frogun every night. You're going to see something a little bit different and going to want to see something a little bit more every night.
So if Orlando tries to go the hardcore route, which we know is one of his strong suits, what's the Frogun got in store for him?
The Frogun got toys too. I got a bronze pick that I keep in my boot just in case something want to pop off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch.
That's right.
I like that.
That's right.
I was not ready for that one. That was a good one, sir. That was a good one, sir. So you heard the man, BCWA this Saturday, Nightmare on 4th Street. If you got any last words for your opponent, let him know you can catch him right in the camera.
That's right. You know, I mean, October 26th, BCWA and Wyandotte is going down. I've been training real hard for this match, and it's finally come to this where the Frogun gets his title shot. And I ain't going to be in there playing no games. This is serious business. So anybody that's everybody that know how the Frogun get down, come check it out. All the Frogunites, come check it out. Because this Saturday, the Frogun is going to do the damn thing.
I think that sums it up. Dev, you got anything else for our guest?
Well, yeah, you mentioned that you've been training for this match, man.
I've been training hard.
The training video came.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. And
the music that would be playing.
Dude, that was so dude, there's the video that he put out. Put it up there. That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
All right, well,
beautiful.
As you can tell, you know, the Frogun is all 80s. That's, you know what I'm saying, though. The whole hookup, every promo I cut.
Oh, so, Collison, that was a time when... No, I'm fucking with
you. We've established the fact that I'm the baby of the group, but go ahead.
Everything I do ends up on some kind of old school VHS, some kind of way. You know what I mean? So, anyways... You know, the song, that's an old Rick James song, you know? And I listen to it all the time, like, damn, that's perfect to do some training to or something like that. But I'm just waiting for the right moment. And for this Saturday, October 26th, and Wyandotte BCWA, the Frogun against Orlando Christopher happened to be the right moment. So you know what? I had to go do some training. I had to go run 20 miles, you know what I'm saying? I had to do a million pull-ups on a broomstick, you know, because the Frogun ain't playing. I've been training hard, and this Saturday I'm taking it. I'm going to get some more gold. That's right. Some more wrestling jewelry.
Kev,
that's
you
what
got
I like
him?
To call
I like
it.
That. I like that.
He got him.
Some
he
more
got
wrestling
him.
Jewelry.
He got Kev. Yeah. Kev's done for.
I need that shit on a shirt.
Wrestling jewelry. I want it all. Gold.
You heard
silver,
it here first.
Platinum. Yeah. Wood. I don't give a damn.
So, anytime soon, can I expect a match between you and Tony Thunder?
Oh, shit. Tony. The challenge has been laid down, sir.
I want to hear what Tony got to say about that first.
He said you a hoe.
Hey. Well, you know,
the Frogun's been called many a thing.
I'm going to just say, I'm going to put it like this. You know, Tony Thunder ain't never backed down from no challenge. And if it comes to me having to find my glow in order to take out who the man,
then that's what we're doing.
Okay, well, hey, where you at, Tony Thunder?
We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen for sure.
Blackwell, you know, I mean, if you haven't figured it out yet, we are already pretty much helping you book your shows as it is. I mean, after the Frogun wins the big gold belt this weekend, I think we might have just booked another match for you. We might have hot shot at Tony Thunder, but, you know, we got to help our own.
Hey, if the people want love me some wrestling jewelry.
People want them in the talent match we got. Put them
I want it all.
I mean, if the people want it, you got to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see that, you should let Mike Blackwell know what's up. I think, with that said, I think we've pretty much covered all the bases when it comes to the Frogun. We're going to be in the building this Saturday at the Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan, BCWA, Nightmare on 4th Street. You need to be there, too. Tony Thunder's going to be there. We're going to be there.
That's me.
It's going to be on and popping, bro. If you're listening to us, make sure you follow the show at all our social medias. Frogun, let them know where they can find you real quick.
But they can find me on Facebook and, you know, the Frogun D-Ray 3000. You know, the Frogun D-Ray 3000 on Facebook. They can find me on Twitter at RighteousMaker1, on Instagram, Defunk3000. But I just got to say, all the fans out there that said they want to see the Frogun get down, that's a Frogunite, and that's behind me, keep on supporting me. I love everybody that's all about the Frogun. And I get fans all the time saying, hey, you'd be great in the NWA. You'd be great in AEW.
Dude, you would be awesome
you'd be
in NWA.
Great in NXT. Well, you know what? If you want to see the Frogun there, tell them. Let them know that's what they need. Hit them up every single day. Let them know because, hey, I'm ready to do the damn thing. I'm ready to get on everybody's TV. You know, everybody's cell phone, computer, whatever you got, wristwatch, I don't give a damn. The Frogun wants to be on everything.
On their VHS
you know,
tape,
because that's how the Frogun get down.
Dev, Tony, throw out your social medias before we get out of here.
Yo, I'm D Tony Thunder on Twitter. I'm Tony Thunder on Facebook. I'm Tony Thunder in your mom's basement. I'm Tony Thunder's everywhere.
Oh. I have a basement.
In your mom's basement, though. Okay.
Why not the attic?
Kyle, what about you? Devin, what about you?
Go. Nothing wrong with having gold.
I can't tap it.
Shit. Mamas need love, too, now. Shit.
You can find me at Kyle J. Campbell on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos, K-A-Y-O-S. You can also find my other show. We talk everything podcasts and about movies, comic books. Wakanda Podcast is this. W-A-K-I-N-D-A Podcast is this. Everywhere you listen to a podcast.
Kev?
Kevin D. Russ on Facebook. _ Made in the 80 on Twitter and Twitter and Instagram. And follow us on the Reality Era Moves page.
Hell yeah. And Dev, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All State No Sizzle. That's one word. And make sure you watch 1205 Live, 105 Y'all Time, every Monday through Friday on this same channel. Mm-hmm.
Oh shit. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT, Kyle Collison on Facebook. Make sure you're following the show, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook. If you're watching this live, you already know that. But make sure you're checking us out on YouTube too. We've also got Knockouts and Three Counts After the Bell. After it could be after a UFC fight. It could be after a pay-per-view. It could be after AEW. It could be after WWE. You never know. I'm doing it, and whoever's watching it with me usually chimes in too. So stay tuned to our YouTube for that too. And on top of that, make sure you're checking us out at ko3cpod.com. And shout out to Dan Brewer, who's been commenting all in this. Check out his new podcast, PWE Podcast. Wrecking Ball was on there. And last but not least, shout out to our sponsor one more time, Stransky & Company. If you need a house, go check them out. Stransky & Company Realty. Nothing left to say that hasn't been said, man. All their links are on our website. Check them out.
Seacrest
go out. Buy a house.
Buy a fucking house, damn it. It's about to get cold. You don't want to be freezing your balls off in the winter.
Go find somewhere to piss.
The rent is too damn high. Get a crib. Go snatch up one of these cribs.
Shit.
With that said, I think that sums it up. Randy, what are you about to say? I can see it coming.
Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.
Yeah, shout out to Punch Deck.
Punch Dick?
Punch Dick.
I said Punch Deck, but okay, we can go Punch Dick too.
Oh man, that sounds like a violent group.
Exactly. I mean, hey, bro, you know better than anybody. You got to get it done however it happens. Ask Ric Flair how many times he had to punch somebody in the dick.
Oh, yeah.
Ask him over a couple drinks.
That's a whole book.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are Knockouts and Three Counts. We appreciate your listening, viewers, and your ears this evening as we bring you. Why y'all ain't stopping me, y'all?
I was waiting. I'm like, that could be the new outro.
Let's I was going to say, up. I'm just like letting them go. But with that being said, we're out of here. Peace.